It's the Puppet Parent Podcast, episode 40, Back Burner. Is stop motion animation puppetry? This week we're talking about having a news vacation, ASL Zoom signals, back burner puppet projects, and saying goodbye to the Trump puppet. It's all coming up next on the Puppet Parent Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, we are the Puppet Parent Podcast.
I'm Z.
I'm Chad.
We're puppeteers.
We're parents.
And we have a podcast.
That's right. And sometimes we're super tired.
Yeah, because of all those other things we just talked about.
Yes.
So it's Monday. Usually we record this on Sunday night, but last night I defiantly wanted to watch the Buffalo Bills possibly make it to the Super Bowl. They did not. My children and I stayed up too late watching the game.
It was still like 10, right?
Yes, I did not realize how late it was. Yeah.
I was asking you, like, hey, game starts at 6:30. How long do these games usually run?
And I was like, 8:30, right? And I hadn't been keeping track of the time because I was just, like, really invested in the emotions of the game. I really wanted them to win.
It's very exciting when your local sports team, you know, is going for the gold.
It was exciting, and unfortunately it didn't work out. But you know what? They played a very, very difficult team. So, and I don't want the whole podcast to be about football, but for fellow Western New Yorkers out there, I feel like we did our due diligence. We watched the home team, and are you missing something?
No, I'm just looking for...
Okay.
There you go.
We watched the home team, and, you know, we were sending our good energy to the guys who are playing, and maybe next year.
Well, so they played against the previous Super Bowl, the reigning Super Bowl champs.
Yes.
The Kansas City Chiefs.
Yes.
Who's all-star quarterback played, even though he got a terrible concussion last week. Or 2 weeks before. I think it was last week. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, everyone said he wasn't going to play, but then he played anyway. Because that's what you do in American football. You push through the pain, no matter what.
Well, this was what Chad and I were discussing, is he told me about all the reasons why he was not going to be watching the football game, because he doesn't believe in football for all of these reasons.
It's not that I don't believe in football. I believe that American football is a brutal...
He's going to tell you all the reasons.
Brutal
now.
Sports. And yep. Fans of the sport will say, yes, it's absolutely brutal. And what happens to the brains and the bodies of the competitors is terrible. And most people who... I mean, maybe this has changed, but I doubt it. Most people who play football become a professional athlete. If you're like a sports team, once the sporting is done, then like you got no prospects, and most of them go bankrupt. So
Chad said all those things, and I said,
"Yep,
I will still. I agree with you, and yet I will still be watching the game." So Chad did other things in a different room while me and the boys watched the game.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, I was down here. I marathoned Castlevania, which is.
Oh, I met the people that made that.
Which one?
The animated series.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh no.
It's there's a cat here. So there might be some chaos happening in a moment. I believe it's Charged Studios out of Austin, Texas. Oh. I know they're based out of Austin. I don't remember the exact name of the studios, but the woman who was representing them was super, super nice when I met her. And
how did you meet them?
I was presenting at a career fair at Carnegie Mellon University.
Oh, yeah.
I was not wearing this hoodie.
Sure? This is like, it's fashion week, isn't it? Look at this thing. This thing is huge. It's like you lost a lot of weight.
I know.
It used to be so big.
Three of me could fit in here.
It's true.
This is our
get along shirt.
This is my I'm going to make it through the pandemic hoodie.
Yes.
In the cold Western New York winters. So anyway, yeah, I met somebody who does stuff for them. I don't remember what she does. She's not an animator, but she like is maybe a producer or something like this. Mm-hmm. And she was super nice and. It made me feel like, oh, I remember working for a place like this. It was for stop motion, but the vibe seemed like a similar vibe as a stop motion place, and it made me miss that kind of place. And then recently, my friend Allie, who lives in Seattle, was like, Leica's hiring all sorts of jobs. You should move to Seattle and work in stop motion again. And I was like, I can't leave the East Coast.
You've moved on.
I haven't moved on necessarily from stop motion specifically, but I really love the Northeast. So it would be hard for me to leave the Northeast.
So you would, after your entire career in puppetry, you would go back to working in stop motion?
It's still puppetry. Like...
Really?
Yeah. It is. I didn't count it as puppetry for the film festival that I did at BAM because...
Isn't that a bit hypocritical?
No. No. Because I feel like stop motion gets a lot of chances to be seen at film festivals. That it's like a darling of children's film festivals and like shorts film festivals and things. And people understand stop motion. They know what to do with stop motion. But live action... real-time performed puppetry shorts are a thing that people sometimes just don't know what to do with, or they're filmed at lengths that are too long for the shorts categories and too short for it to be a full length. So what do we do with this? We don't know. So that's why.
Right. But you're saying that stop motion animation films are puppetry.
It is like a puppet. Yes, I think.
But as we know, the definition of puppetry is that it's performed.
Well, they are performed, in a sense, very, very, very slowly. It is inanimate and it's brought to life by the human hand, very slowly,
But
frame
they,
by frame.
Right, but it's essentially just like they're sculpting, like frame by frame. They're kind of like moving a sculpture. But like if I painted something like on a flip book and then flipped it, and it like that's not puppetry though.
Mm-mm, that's animation.
So, but if I use a sculpture, it's puppetry.
You could animate an object, and that's puppetry. And these is objects coming to life.
What if it's a 3D object on a computer?
No, that's animation.
Okay.
Not tangible.
But you could do puppetry on a computer. Because you move it around, you perform it.
No, you didn't touch it. It's not tangible. So,
but
I am going to say that we include stop motion animation in puppetry. And we also include ventriloquism in puppetry.
Uh-huh.
But it's its own sect. Like, it's its own offshoot of the main tree trunk tree. This is the tree. And there are branches. And it's a branch off of the tree of puppetry.
I get the puppet tree. I'm
Chad.
With you. I mean, I feel like, you know, is Contestory a puppetry? No, it's like it's an offshoot, right? But like we include it under the umbrella. I get that. But I feel like, see, like Kevin over here in chat is saying, I say stop motion of objects is puppetry made in slow motion. So he definitely agrees with you. I'm like,
I see you, Kevin.
Chad is against me on this one.
Stop motion is a form of puppetry. It's a form of puppetry. And if we had done a fifth Puppets on Film Festival, there had been discussion about having one whole day dedicated just to stop motion animation, which I was more okay with that, because then it like gave it its own spotlight instead of mixing it in with real-time performed puppets.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, it's like I feel like we're like the music geeks geeking out about like whether something is like techno or electronica or whatever. It doesn't really matter. It's silly.
Sometimes it matters. So Z.
Yes.
Breaking news.
Yeah.
I'm not paying attention to the news this week. We talked about this at all. I'm on a news vacation. It's so nice to feel like, wow, there's smart people in Washington, in the country or its capital, and I can just relax for a moment. Relax. And anytime I see news, it's good news.
There was a Times article this morning that said, welcome to a Monday morning without Trump.
Yeah. It feels so good, you guys. It's like the maniacs, the crazy people have finally left the building on like a terrible note, let's say, but they're gone. And anytime I hear news, it's like, hey, no more transgender ban in the military. Yay. Awesome. Like things that we took for granted that were great. We're moving in a great direction 4 years ago. like we're there again. And I hope that this administration would be just like a reset button for a lot of things for a lot of people. And it seems like it's shaping up to be.
Well, all we can do at this point is like keep being, you know, supporters, good people. And but, you know, I definitely have been watching the news. And tonight I watched the articles of impeachment get walked from the House to the Senate chambers.
Is there a person? Who did it?
It was a committee of 9 people, the impeachment committee, who walked them down from the House.
Is it in a binder?
It was a folder. It was in a folder. Yeah. Or maybe it was like a binder.
Like a trapper keeper. That would be awesome.
With puppies.
Like a Lisa Frank trapper keeper, like within this sacred keeper. That's right. Within this binder. Not a 3-ring binder, mind you. They've kind of like put it into one of those inner pockets. That's right.
It was hard for me to believe that just last Monday, Biden hadn't been inaugurated yet.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it hasn't even been a week yet. That's crazy to me. Because I'm already feeling, like, more relaxed. But then also, just tonight, I was listening to some of the commentary about what will probably happen with the impeachment and everything. And he will probably not end up actually getting impeached because they would need a 17 Republicans to agree that that was a good idea. And it's not looking to be possible right now because all of the Republicans kind of want to be like, can we just ignore all that? Because now we've moved on.
That's right. Unity.
And so they're saying it's unconstitutional to like try to impeach a president after he's not president anymore. But I'm surprised because I would have thought that it would have been in their best interest to like not have such a divisive figure as Trump continue to be the platform of the party. Wouldn't you want to like together say that wasn't a good idea? But I guess not. I don't know.
Well, they built their houses with that brand, man. You know, it's like if they've been telling their people like in Western New York around election time, because we've been here for a while now, we saw a lot of ads specifically saying this candidate was endorsed by the current presidents. And we're because we're from New York City, we never see anything like that. We're just like,
why would you ever?
You don't say that in public. No. Why is that on your ad? You're like, ugh. But out here are certain red counties, because it was like a local state legislator. That's your brand. It's like, I'm endorsed by that person you like. And a lot of red states and a lot of red counties.
Well, there's still a lot of Trump flags up around here and Confederate flags, too, that I've seen. So we're just very rural in Western New York. We're south of Buffalo right now until we can move back to New York City. Mm-hmm. And it's just, I don't know, I'm not as panicky as I was a couple weeks ago, which is good, but I'm also still concerned. So, but we're making it, and everything is okay. Like, the boys are doing okay with school. There's a general malaise that has set in overall. But
I think that was today.
Was it just today? Did we just have a case of the Mondays?
I think it was a case of we stayed up late watching the Bills game and we're really tired the next day and don't feel like doing anything. One of those days.
Yeah, but then we did our routine tonight of reading and everybody was cool. So, and we're reading a very sad book right now.
What's it called? Is it The Little Prince?
No, it's called The One and Only Ivan, and it's by Catherine Applegate. Mm. And it's about a gorilla in it's based on a true story of a gorilla in a mall.
Ew.
And like a circus mall. I know. It's sad. It's sad. Mm. But we're reading it for school because they're doing like analysis on it in the second grade on this book. But I definitely want to read something funny after this because I'm just like, whoo, 20 pages of that a night. Anybody read The One and Only Ivan? tell me things.
Don't. Like, let's just say don't. Oh, is it? Oh,
okay,
no.
Powerful
oh.
book. Okay, okay. All right, Jet I'm waiting likes for it. Things okay. to get better. We're 120 pages in. It's intense. I don't want to give any spoilers away, but it, like every night lately, because we read 20 pages a night, it's like, whew, okay, guys. Well, now let's read Boxcar Children. Because that's what Leaf really is into. Mm-hmm. And we've been substituting the grandma worksheets because my mother-in-law is a kindergarten teacher and has put together all of these reading analysis worksheets for my second grader to be doing extra work. And yes, poor Ivan. I completely agree, Erica. And Kevin, I am glad to hear a powerful book because it is powerful, but right now I'm feeling like, oh, God, it's hard to read it because it's just sad. What was I saying? Oh. I have decided to substitute all of the grandma worksheets while they're away.
All right.
They're gone in Florida. So
my mom, who is a kindergarten teacher, has a bunch of worksheets that are timely for our kids to do.
Yeah, she keeps going on to Teachers Pay Teachers and like finding things that she thinks would be like good to have in addition to their work to help them with reading comprehension and writing and everything. But it's also been like a lot of the same stuff. And I found some great reading comprehension worksheets on the Boxcar Children website. So for the first book specifically, they had a whole packet for the entire first book for free. And I was like, yes, please. So Leaf's been really happy doing a couple of pages of those a day. So that's been nice. Mm-hmm. And, you know, overall, I think the boys are doing really well in school for what school is right now. And I think my hope is that when they get to real school again, that they're going to be really happy to be there. That's my hope. Yeah. You know? And then we'll be both really happy to have them there.
Well, it's like everything's going to change when we go back.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
It will be. But, you know, I think I'll look back on, my hope is I'll look back on this time and say, I got to spend a lot of time with my kids.
That's right. Mm-hmm. We got to just be out in the country, living in a country house for a year.
But because, here's the deal, is like there's a special kind of level of intensity that happens around school time every day with the two boys because they're both logged in at the same time with the same teacher to their Zoom class because it's like a blended age level session. And so they're at two different ends of a long kitchen table, and I sit with the younger one who's in kindergarten. And the older one at this point, I don't sit next to him anymore unless he's really having an off day. But we have hand signals for what he's supposed to do. My older one is very verbose sometimes, and he has a hard time knowing when is a good time to stop talking. And so the hand signal for stopping talking is like a chorus teacher being like, and we're done. Okay, find your end. But instead of me saying find your end, it's just me frantically
waving your hands around.
But then the other thing is I noticed that I was saying mute yourself a lot and people could hear me. And that's not helpful because then I'm still talking over people. So now I wave my arms until I get his attention. And then I do this, which is a sign language for M. So this is our mute button.
That is way better. I got to pick some of that up because
I just wave my hands until I get my attention. I go, mute, like that.
There are definitely times where I know that one of them is unmuted and I'm just like, why did you do that?
Oh, what? No. I make them mute and then I'll say, you are not allowed to do that after they've muted. Yeah, I know. I have
you.
A whole routine.
Good for you.
Because, and then when they're not in class, headphones off, screen down for Leaf, for the older one, second grade. And then for Finn, headphones off and the screen gets turned towards me so only I can see it. So when Leaf's in class, I'm like listening in, but it's really his class. I'm really trying to be like hands off more with him, but he still needs to be monitored because if not he would just like space out sometimes and not listen to anything for the whole class or just not attend class. So, I mean, yeah.
Well, everyone has their own specific challenges.
Mm-hmm.
Yay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to another week of streaming school. You know, but you're busy with puppet stuff this week.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. I got another PD tomorrow morning, mm-hmm. Tuesday morning, for District 75. And then this week we're going to start advertising for the public professional development workshops that we're offering through the Making Connections Through Puppetry program. We got a contract from the Kennedy Center, VSA program sites contracts, to offer these programs through the Jim Henson Foundation, through the Kennedy Center. So, so this week is the week that we're going to start advertising for that, because the D75 ones for New York City are filled up. So that's great. So now they can be open to the public. And then we'll fill those up. I think we have about 20 slots left.
So a PD.
Professional Development Workshop.
And that means that Z is going to...
I'm going to teach, but I'm not teaching all of them. I teach some of them.
What are you teaching?
Oh, I'm not doing a good job at all of talking about what I do. I myself and my co-teacher, Adelka Pollock, are teaching teachers, therapists, and counselors how to use puppets when working with kids with autism. And basically what that means is that we're teaching them how to perform puppets, because... it's like an instrument. If you've never been given any kind of a lesson, you wouldn't know like a chord, or you wouldn't know if your instrument was in tune. So we're just giving you the basics of how to perform puppets, and then helping them to connect the puppetry skills that they're learning to the work that they're already doing. So we're not giving you more work to do. I'm giving you another tool in your toolkit, and we're making sure that the puppetry is well performed so that it can be as effective as possible. And also... special emphasis and acknowledgement to using puppets in a virtual space, because a lot of these teachers are teaching virtually right now.
Right. And there's a different set of rules.
Yeah.
As I'm sure all the puppeteers out there know, it's like it's this weird double-edged thing where you're not interacting exactly live, but you have to follow the rules of TV puppetry, which is the puppets always have to look directly into the camera at all times, which if you're like me performing behind a screen is challenging to be able to look directly at something that you can't exactly see. But the great thing about performing two characters at once when you have a monitor right in front of you is you can see yourself from the audience's perspective. So mm-hmm. That's great.
What's also fun, too, is that your playboard cuts off down here at the very bottom of your screen. So mm-hmm. you can have all sorts of friends and things that nobody can see just below your screen that can pop up suddenly. And there's lots of different fun games that you can play. Like one of the ideas is you can easily do a very simple hide and go seek game with a new character that can make the kids happy and engaged to then do learning and be motivated for things. And because left and right, it can be tricky in this kind of virtual space. Instead of saying left and right, you could say like my head, my tummy, Chad's head, Chad's tummy, and like where is the new friend gonna poke out, and then they pick where they think the new friend is. Chad says
tummy,
and let's find out where was it. There it is. So normally I would be closer to the screen and it would kind of come out like that. But
hey, nice waveforms.
Thanks. Oh, it's because I'm so close to the microphone.
That's right.
So it's really fun. My puppet is all wrinkled because I'm wearing it over my thing. But it's this style of puppet. And everybody who takes the course gets one of these felt puppets that I make. Mm-hmm. So if you're interested, we're going to have information on the WonderSpark Facebook page and the Jim Henson Foundation Facebook page and my Facebook page, Z Briggs. About that starting tomorrow morning. I'm going to start advertising.
So starting Tuesday, January 26th.
Yes.
So we're going to be starting to advertise those to the public. To the public, and it's only how much?
Domestically, it's a subsidized rate of $35, and you're basically paying for your puppet and some ubi eyes, or peeper eyes, as we call them.
Mm-hmm.
And we call it a puppet kit. So you're getting two puppets, And yes.
And Z makes them.
I do.
Right here.
Right here on this desk.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So that's awesome, you know? Yeah. There you go. Bam.
Yeah. All right. So that was our puppet moment for the night.
There you
tonight.
Go.
Yay.
There you go. Video. If you're watching this on video, you got a lot more. So yeah. So outside of.
Thanks Jesse.
So are you feeling warm in this giant hoodie?
I am feeling warm. I don't feel like tense, because that's why I keep putting layers on, is that I notice that as the day goes on, I start to hunch over and feel very ooh, and tense up. And it's uncomfortable for me, and it's hard for me to get my work done because I'm not comfortable.
Yeah.
So
I feel like the all the heat leaves my hands when I get like that, and my fingers shrivel up, and then I can't type properly. I start making typos because my the way I'm used to typing is different.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Mm-hmm. But you know, my cure for all that is to go outside and do some work. Do some exercise. I got the shovel going. We got so much snow. I decided, you know what? I didn't really clean off the back deck. Well, I mean, I'm just going to work on that now. I'm just going to take the shovel, you know, shovel out to the barn, shovel here, shovel there. It's like free exercise. It's great. It's good for your, I don't know if it's great for your back, but it's a back exercise and arms and heart and lungs, all that good stuff together. Listen to a podcast, smash some ice and scare the crap out of your wife.
I mean, we have about 3 feet of snow here, and it's supposed to snow all day tomorrow. So, I don't know. Just keep snowing.
Mm-hmm.
Woo-hoo.
Yeah, and all the Western New York people, and we're from Western New York, but the Western New York people are like, every time we talk about how much snow we got, they're like, yeah, that's the weather here. City people.
You know what? It's just that we haven't lived in it in a long time. It's been a long time since I've actually lived through that much snow.
We get snow in the city, but you know what? It's a nuisance.
Well,
so I'm always thankful when we don't get a huge blizzard in New York City. Because where does it go? Right onto all the parking spots, basically. And then nobody needs to move your cars because alternate side parking is always canceled whenever there's a blizzard. Because the snowplows will just go down the street and push all the snow onto the cars, making a huge just snow pile car situation happening.
Compacted snow pile. It's
and then it
really
freezes.
Yeah.
And then it's just a mess. Incredibly hard. And if you have to drive like I do, like taking your puppet show on the road, you need to find open street parking, right? So it becomes even doubly hard to do that. So for a long time, and we will have this again, I'm sure, is I have an actual legitimate shovel, like a spade, in my car, ready to dig myself out of a huge blizzard, and then also dig into a parking spot, because I've had to do that a couple times too. It's like I'm circling around, and you find the one spot that looks like maybe it's legit, but you're not sure. And you're looking around for the parking signs, maybe gotta move the snow off of the alternate side parking signs, see if it's good, check Google Maps, and then start digging it out with the snow shovel, man. That's what it takes. You do not get that here. No, in a tiny little village, it's like there's just a couple, I think like one or two, maybe even just one snowplow, does a lot of work, you know, and that the parking lot, it clears out every single night. So they plow it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's been snowy, if you're wondering. And we've been playing board games. Actually, one of our Wonder Sparklers, who has been a big supporter of Wonder Spark for the last year, since we've been having such a time with everything, Jenny Rogers sent our family this game, Piratopoly, and our son, who's in kindergarten, loves it because it's Monopoly but way more fun. And so we've been playing that throughout the day today. It's an ongoing game. It's looking like I might win, but that's yes. And we had to talk about it because sometimes he gets very sad if he loses.
Well,
but
I think everybody does, right?
Yeah, but you know what? He was like, it's okay, Mama. So we're going to see how he does this time.
Cool.
I lost the Monopoly game that my second grader insisted we play together while we were watching the Bills lose. He was not a gracious winner. I'll just put it that way.
He's got to work on that.
Yeah. But I remember being a kid and watching. We had an adult friend who was a friend of my parents come to our parents' house and play a board game. And he was not he was not an okay loser. He was a very sore loser, and he got very huffy, and he left. And I'd never seen an adult do that. And I was like, whoa. So then I said to myself, I'm never going to be like that. I'm always going to be like, whatever. Because it was, like, so weird to see an adult act like that.
Probably drunk a little bit.
Oh, maybe he was. Yeah. Never thought about that, but he probably was, actually.
Adults get all childish when they get drunk.
Yeah, it was weird. It was weird, and then I was like, I thought we weren't supposed to do that if we lost. Anyway, and it was only slightly tragic because I loved playing board games, but I was an only child, so I didn't get to play board games very often. So whenever I did, it was like very special, you know? Mm-hmm. And I kind of felt like, oh, you ruined it. Aww. No. Because all the adults were playing with me, you know, mm-hmm. a board game. It was probably an adult board game, like Parcheesi or Trivial Pursuit or something, but I didn't care. It was a board game.
Oh, Trivial Pursuit, that's like causes wedges to arrive. Like that, like, splits up a party pretty quick.
It also might have been Monopoly, to be perfectly honest, because their rifts happen in Monopoly as well.
Risk also. Oh, These are all terrible. Everybody...
But you know what? I have a great memory of playing Risk in Springville with my friend Fats, who used to live here.
Yeah.
And I went to his house one time and we played Risk with a bunch of his friends. And there were notes passed during the game. I think I still have one somewhere in a shoebox that was like, don't you dare, you know, sell Mongolia. Or I'll trade you Mongolia for Europe, but watch out because I'm coming for Italy next, mm-hmm. or something like that. Like,
see, that's I feel like you just have to find your people. Like any terrible American board game can be great if you have the right set of people to play it. You know. I feel like Europeans grew up with amazing local board games that we Americans has been like catching up to like the last 20 years. You know, all those amazing German board games.
Oh, like Ravensburg or whatever the company is? That company? What are you talking about?
Many. I mean, great board games out of the UK.
Name one.
Dominion.
That's not all I think of is an election thing with Dominion now.
What about the one with the trains?
Voting machines. Oh, Ticket to Ride?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I actually don't know if that's your opinion or not, but anyway, Ravensburger.
Ravensburger, yes.
Yeah, a little seal of quality on there.
I like their puzzles.
But anyway,
we have Labyrinth by them too. Actually, is a really cool game.
That one's all right.
I like it.
I was expecting something different.
I thought it was cool. I liked it.
Okay. But let's end the show, Z.
Oh yes. Okay. Let's end the show. Yes,
with,
Chad.
With the segment that we have been doing every week now. I look forward to.
What's
other
it gonna
be? People's puppet shows.
Woo! What's the theme?
The theme is, I guess. Well, all right. I will lead. I've been thinking about this, so I will lead with mine.
All right, maybe it'll give me time to think of something.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, good.
Okay.
So, after 5 years, over 3,000 tweets, and I think around 39 videos, the Trump puppet has finally retired. Our friend Brian Carson, who stuck with it for 5 years on this, like, who stuck with a joke for five years.
Did he keep making videos?
He kept making videos. So
I didn't realize.
Ever since. So actually, there were a few Trump puppets in the beginning. The company who does really stylized caricature puppets on a really high level over in England.
Spitting Image?
Yes. Does a great one. Brian Carson stuck with, he made a Trump puppet early on during the Republican primaries.
Yes.
And stuck with it until Trump left office. 5 years. And it was all just a riff on when he famously said during one of the debates with Hillary Clinton, and he's like, Where she's like, well, you're just a puppet for Putin. And he says, puppet? Nope, nope, not a puppet. Not a puppet. You're a puppet, not me.
Yeah.
And he's like, ha ha, I think everybody realizes this. In fact, we were told at children's birthday parties, you know what you guys should do? So he made a Trump puppet, and all he did was he would take sound bites from Trump saying something weird or like crazy, which he often did every single day, and just play the audio track over his Trump puppet in his own tiny little puppet studio office of the Oval Office, just doing that. And the whole thing was just satire, just to show you that, like, here's this puppet, like Trump puppet, and he's saying these things.
So ridiculous.
That was the whole thing. And yeah. He stuck with it for 5 years, and his set got more detailed. You know, he would do little things and engage with people often. And it was such a cool project, I think, that it must have been really, I mean, you know, do you ever stick with something for like 5 years and retire it? It's really cool. And the last video he did was the little Trump puppet without saying anything, just kind of like sitting around the office.
Playing with the toys on his desk.
And then just slowly fading out of frame, just going below frame, like, and just exiting. And that's the end of that project.
Congratulations, Brian.
Yeah, I'm so proud of you, man. You stuck with it. You know, I'm sure there were times during that where you probably questioned if you should keep going, especially when things got insane with that president.
There was a point when he was unhinged?
No, yes.
Unfollowed by Donald Trump, or blocked by
Trump.
That's
right, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. That was like a definite milestone. I wonder if there was like a milestone every year of people who didn't get the joke, or weird right-wing media outlets promoting it, like it was positive or something like that. When you do satire, there's always going to be people who don't get it.
Right.
And just then you got to feel like,
Stephen Colbert.
Yeah, like, am I actually promoting the wrong thing? Am I the baddie? But anyway, but kudos, Brian. You did it. Congratulations.
Yay. Is it my turn now?
His puppet company is Creatures Inspired.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. You should look him up.
Yes.
He makes an amazing puppet or two, especially Muppet style puppets.
He
does,
and he helps out a lot at Museum of the Moving Image. And
this guy is amazing.
He is amazing. He does so many different things.
That's right. He's a good friend of Santa Claus, gotta say. And he has performed in not just puppetry, but in like big mascot characters too.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Yeah.
He's awesome.
Now, see, I vamped.
And fellow historian.
I keep vamping. No. I have to vamp so you can think of something.
Well, I'm just not sure where to go from there.
Well, I mean, that's it. You don't have to think of one. It's okay.
Like a long-term project?
Yeah, sure. I mean, we've known some puppeteers that have done long-term projects. Sometimes it's like, when is it going to come out? Like I was just reading on Barefoot Puppets blog, they were working on a show called The Little by Little for at least 10 years.
Boy.
At least 10 years. And I just know this because I just shared a documentary of them on our Unima USA social media page. And they actually have like a timeline on their website of like what happened every single year of their company's existence. It made me kind of want to do one.
Oh, that's cool. Because
it's just cool to think about. Like, this year we did this project. This year was the 7th anniversary of this project. We're still working on it. And it was like, oh man, they have one of those where they're like, you know, just put it off for a little bit or keep working a little bit. We have a couple of those too.
Yeah,
a couple. I was just looking. I was like, oh man, this is a children's book that I wanted to write. So I was just looking up like, oh yeah, it's a really good idea. Maybe we should keep working on that a little bit.
Oh, you know, a person in my Facebook feed just received the Caldecott honor for a book she illustrated.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. What book? And who is your friend?
Okay, hold on.
All right. What's the book about?
I haven't read the book. It's a children's book. Her name's Cindy Derby. And I want to make sure. Oh, geez. I can't even use my phone.
Look at this. Honey also saying in chat, she has so many unfinished puppet projects. Me too, man. Me too. And sometimes you can get completely absorbed in something that you believe is a great idea for all the right reasons, and then it just doesn't pan out, and that's life.
Okay, her name is Cindy Derby, and the book is named Outside In. So I am so proud of her. I don't honestly even know how I know Cindy. I must have met her at something, but I'm just so excited for her because, oh my gosh, a book that you illustrated has a Caldecott honor. What? Amazing.
Congratulations.
So,
you did it.
She's a beautiful illustrator, and she's illustrated a number of children's books. And actually another friend of mine, Lauren Brantz, is quite well known at this point for having written Feminist Baby. I met Lauren because she was working at the Henson Workshop when I first started. And then she went on to work at BuzzFeed, I think, for a while, and now is her own illustrator and writer of these books, and as a mom, too, I think, now as well. I can't really think of anything to, like...
That's good enough.
Well, yeah, so shout-out to Cindy Derby and to Lauren Brantz. Yeah.
That's right.
For their accomplishments in the children's book realm. And also Samantha Berger, if we're going to talk about children's books authors. Also want to say Samantha Berger because she has done so much cool stuff. And she wrote all of the episodes of the Foley and Friends podcast for Audible that I happen to be a part of as well.
Yay, still up there. Yeah. Still awesome. All right, well, on that note, we are the Puppet Parent Podcast. You can check us out wherever you get your MP3s or your podcasts. We're on Spotify, any of those podcast places. If you want to download the MP3s directly or see our RSS feed, head over to puppetparentpodcast.com. Our puppet company's name is Wonderspark Puppets. We are still performing streaming shows online and teaching puppetry workshops to kids, to adults. Check out our stuff over at wondersparkpuppets.com or give us a shout out over at Facebook or Instagram. Just look us up, WondersparkPuppets. And let's see. Ooh, I'm seeing some puppeteer confessions over in chat from people who also have a lot of back burner projects. Let's see. Ooh, Honey says, took her 8 years from the first idea to the first performance to create a show called A Dream of Me. Mm-hmm. Amazing. Yeah, sometimes it's like that.
And Alyssa Brodsky, Missy Brodsky, said it took her 3 years to get her cabaret show on its feet. But, I mean, good job, you guys, for doing it, because I feel like I have stuff in my brain that's been there forever that's never been completed. So, and it might not, so who knows?
Now, if you're out there listening, Paul Vincent Davis...
It's his birthday.
Where's the book?
Yeah.
I want the book.
Didn't it come out?
Did it come out?
I thought it did.
Okay, never mind. For a long time, that was like the running joke.
I don't think it had like the same kind of like press about it that was supposed to happen. So.
Okay. So if you out there are extremely niche, which is the internet slang for small audience, Paul Vincent Davis, puppeteer legend, great guy. Released? Question mark.
I thought he did. Honey, help me here.
A book that he'd been working on.
Did he release it?
And people have been, every time we'd visit him, we'd be like, hey, is the book done yet? And he'd be like, I'm still working on it. Let's see. Oh, yes. Oh, Honey would definitely know. Yes. She says, look on Amazon for Paul Vincent Davis's puppetry book. I have not read it, but
Exploring the Art of Puppet Theater. It was released in 2018.
Yay.
Yeah, so you can buy it. You can buy it.
So eventually, enough people poked Paul. Book. He finally released it. Just goes to show you. I think he wrote that book for like 20 years. He kept telling.
We could get it on by Friday if we order it right now.
He was like George R.R. Martin, where he's like, guys, my old computer died and I lost the last draft. And everyone's like, no! Summon the computer nerds to fix this! You know, it has like, I hope that he includes in the book the saga of how the book came to be, because.
That's true. Yeah. And Honey says she can help us get it signed. Ooh. So that would be very special, Honey. We should definitely help
Oh, it's happening. All right. So thank you so much, guys. And we will see you next week. Will we be this tired? I mean, maybe.
Wait, don't hit finish yet. Take care of yourselves and each other. And if you're having a hard time and you need somebody to talk to, please make sure that you do that because we want you to stick around. All right. We love you and we'll see you soon.
Bye.
Bye.